This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Later in this half hour, Lisa Simeone meets the Afrobeat band Antibalas. But first, China is preparing for another round of local elections. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter travels there next month to help monitor the voting. Chinese officials want to prove they are changing, though these village elections don't always work out. Local communist officials sometimes lose an election and keep power anyway. We know that last detail thanks to our man in China, NPR's Rob Gifford. This past week, Gifford took a break from one of the world's more challenging beats and traveled back to Washington, which means that we here at NPR got a chance to sit down and talk with a reporter who covers the last major communist power from his base in the city of Beijing.
Everybody who comes through who's never been to China before, including one NPR colleague who came through just a few months ago, basically gets off the plane and says to me, this is communist China, because on the surface it really is very modern. There's shiny new buildings, there's people driving Buicks and Volkswagens and Audis in the streets of Beijing, and it really has just exploded in terms of development over the last 20 years. That sort of perhaps belies a little bit what's going on underneath, because the surface has changed, but underneath, of course, it is still a one-party system, and the government can move in and be very unmodern in its approach sometimes.
When you're working as a Western reporter in this very modern city, is the government keeping tabs on you?
Again, much less than they used to. I always assume in my phone calls and emails that they're being listened to and tapped, but I have never had any feedback on anything that I have reported or done. I mean, they keep a close eye on the Washington Post and on the New York Times, and I'm sure they do keep an eye on me, but it seems very hands-off, and compared to people who were reporting from there in the 1980s, we get a huge amount of freedom to talk to Chinese people if they're willing to talk to us.
Now, how do things change when you move outside of Beijing?
They change a great deal, and I think this is one of the big issues about modern China, is that Beijing and Shanghai and Guangzhou and Xi'an and the big cities really are like modern Western cities in lots of ways. But you only have to go 100 miles outside Beijing, and you've got people who are just working the land and working in the fields like their parents, grandparents, and forebears back thousands of years have done. So you've kind of got almost two countries developing. The urban and the rural gap is really, really huge. And you go to parts of rural China, people are living on less than $100 a year. And that is really very striking.
You attempted recently to travel to Tibet, as I understand it. You were doing a story for National Public Radio about an effort to build a railroad to that region. What was happening?
That's right. I applied to go to Tibet proper and was turned down. But then the Chinese government offered to take a group of foreign journalists to the starting point of the railroad, which is in the Chinese province of Qinghai. So we all trooped up there it's really the back of beyond. You fly to the regional capital and then you take a 15-hour train ride to the end of the line, basically. And they are trying to publicize this railroad, and they're saying, you know, it's going to improve the lives of Tibetan people because it's going to enable more people to come in, more things to come out, it's going to bring down the price of goods in Lhasa, all that sort of thing. And of course this is the Chinese argument, but the other thing that it'll do will facilitate getting Chinese troops into Tibet as well. And we were trying to talk to some of the local people, especially the Tibetans, with the Chinese officials looking over our shoulders, and get them to tell us what they thought about the railroad.
Are you having to deal with the Chinese government equivalent of a PR firm, public relations people all the time?
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes it's less friendly than that, and it's more like the secret police. But it's interesting going on trips with these people, like this trip to the Tibetan Railroad, because, you know, you go on these trips and your perception of Chinese Communist Party officials is that they're all going to be, you know, wearing shades and sort of in a trench coat and looking like spooks. And actually, sometimes they're very frank about what they think about the Chinese Communist Party, and they'll talk to you off the record about they think this should be changed and that should be changed. So sometimes, although of course they're there to control our movements, sometimes, you know, it's possible to actually communicate with them and realize that, you know, this isn't some sort of monolithic party necessarily full of nasty people who just want to oppress other people and stop foreigners getting what they want.
How do you go about learning what is on the minds of people beyond the members of the Communist Party, especially in a remote area like Tibet, where access is going to be very limited?
Generally, because I speak Chinese, that helps a lot. And at just at every stage, you know, I check into the hotel, I get talking to the woman who cleans the room, you know, we go to a restaurant, you get talking to the waitresses, and you just try and walk out and about on the street and just get chatting to people. And speaking Chinese is sufficiently strange in a place like that for a foreigner to be doing that people, you know, they're maybe a little bit suspicious, and if you get onto sensitive subjects, certainly, but you know, they do want to talk to you, and that in itself is illuminating.
Now, some NPR listeners may recall that in the midst of this country that is changing so rapidly, you had an experience that I think may remind a lot of people of the Cold War. You, as a journalist, were arrested not too long ago.
That's right. That's right. I was trying to interview the mother of a boy who was killed in Tiananmen Square, and I went to her apartment with a couple of other journalists, and we were pulled in by the police, who watch her apartment very closely. And this is when all the modernity on the surface of Beijing and the other cities really sort of suddenly fizzles away, because there they are, they're on you, they take you and they lead you into the local police station, and we were detained for about 3 hours and questioned what were we doing. And then right at the end of it, we were forced to write self-criticisms of what we'd done. This is a very Chinese thing. Chinese people, less so now, but in the past, always had to write self-criticisms to, you know, say, oh, it was bad, I was wrong, I broke the law, and they wouldn't release us until we actually wrote these things.
So what did you write in your self-criticism?
I think I wrote something like, I tried to word it very carefully. I said, I acknowledge that these policemen believe that I have broken the law or something. And their English wasn't particularly good. And I think there were four of us, and we all kind of agreed that we were going to write it in such a way that they might not understand the nuances of what we were saying. But we didn't totally sell out to exactly what they wanted us to say.
And you wrote it in English, not in Chinese.
I did write it in English, yeah.
And they let you go.
They did. They did.
We've been talking, Rob Gifford, the last few minutes about a lot about political rights. I'm wondering if the average Chinese citizen that you run across in your reporting is thinking that much about those things.
A lot of the reporting that one gets in the United States deals with this issue of human rights. I think the intellectuals in the cities are thinking about some of these political issues. But if you go out to the countryside, people there really are at a different stage of development. There's very little political awareness. You know, these are very, very poor people, and they don't have a very sophisticated view of political systems. And, you know, it's much more raw than that. And a lot of them feel that if local officials just stay off their back and they'll just be allowed to focus on making a bit more money, then that really is very much their sort of immediate desire.
Rob Gifford is NPR's Beijing bureau chief, and he'll be returning there soon. Rob, thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks very much, Steve.